Okay, turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Ezekiel once again. In Ezekiel, the 12th chapter, and we've been working our way through this chapter and taking it somewhat verse by verse, but not entirely verse by verse, because sections of verses kind of flow together in this study, so we've encountered it that way. And we've come down to verses 17 through 20, and let's read them again this evening to kind of get our minds back into it, seeing as we've had a couple weeks in between, or a week in between our last message on this. Verse 17, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling, and with carefulness. And say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and of the land of Israel, They shall eat their bread with carefulness, and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." And I ask you the question tonight, do you know that He is the Lord Jehovah? That word is capitalized. Not just the beginning letter, but all the letters are capitalized. Amen. Signifying that is Jehovah that is speaking. That is the one true God, the Almighty God, the all-knowing God, the all-seeing God, the everywhere present God, God the provider, God the creator,
Amen.
God the provider, and God the sustainer. And you just heard a couple messages on God the provider, the providence of God. Sunday morning was titled Providence of God. Sunday evening, afternoon, dealt with the providence of God, did it not? Our daily bread, the providence of God. It's not of our own hands, not of our own strength. It's of the strength and ability that He gives us. But then He even makes the food available and present to us. But that's not our message. Those were good messages. And thank Brother Jackson for preaching them. But in these verses, we have considered the thought that sin deprives, can deprive of physical comforts. And it does deprive of physical comforts. We've looked at that. We've looked at the thought, but not always does sin produce consequences such as this, depriving of comforts, physical comforts. Sin and secular prosperity have often gone hand in hand, we said. We look around and we can see the wicked prospering greatly, prospering better than us. And some might even be tempted to say, well, Lord, why are you prospering them so and not me? Well, you are failing to look at the blessings of the Lord that He has provided for you. And if you're saved, what greater blessing has He blessed you with than salvation? That's the greatest blessing of all. To be saved. To be one of His children. To have eternal life. Heaven bound. We're heaven bound. We don't have to fear. But so we see that the wicked are prosper sometimes. But in the end, sin will deprive them of comforts. In the end, they will be deprived of their comforts. We looked at that. Let's see. Was there something else to point it out, wanted to point out there? Nope. That was pretty good. Tonight we're going to continue the thought of, we titled that sin deprives of comforts. We titled that, don't be jealous of the wicked. Don't be jealous of their prosperity. And we continue that thought tonight. Don't be jealous of the wicked. As we consider the wicked and we consider them being blessed and their prosperity, and that's not blessings. Physical prosperity is not blessings. We as Christians could look at it as blessings, and if the Lord gives us that, it is a blessing of the Lord. But the greatest blessings of all, as we said, are spiritual. Salvation is the greatest blessing of all. And the greatest blessings of all are those blessings that we're, the fruit which we're bearing, which is spiritual fruit, which is laid up for us in heaven. What a glorious thing that is. Now, as we're the setting of this chapter and the chapters that we've looked at before, during the siege of Jerusalem, when the Chaldean army laid siege to Jerusalem, in our text, these verses that we read in verses 17 through 20, physical comforts and luxuries disappeared. It was he was to eat his bread with quaking and drink his water with trembling and with carefulness, with anxiety, in anxiety. And he was to say to the people of the land, thus the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread. The land of Judah and the land of Israel shall eat their bread. You see, this was a picture that Ezekiel was to portray in eating his bread with quaking, drinking his water with trembling, and with carefulness, with anxiety. It was to depict one who was in much anxiety. He was trembling. He was shaking. And you can imagine that, eating the bread, wondering if the enemy's coming nearby, about to consume them. And this is all a picture of the supply of food, the supply of water being very sparse. A picture of the siege. You can just imagine. Say an army lays siege around Melbourne. They cut off the food supply coming into the city. They cut off the water supply coming into the city. You're down to very little food. Very little water. In fact, the food was being rationed. The water was being rationed. Can you imagine the fear and the trembling? Just wondering when they were going to come in and kill the majority of you. Or maybe even worse yet, you would die from thirst and hunger. Starving That's a slow death. Slow death. You can imagine what they're under. Turn with me back to the fourth chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we'll read early on. He was to give this picture to them in a different manner. And they would know what it was. He said to Ezekiel in the fourth chapter, in verse 9, he said, "Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side." Those 360 days and those 40 days. He was to make that number, and it was according to the number of days, and that was, and notice the ingredients here. Remember the ingredients for this bread? This was the ingredients of a poor person. Poverty. Much of it was that which was fed to cattle, because it wasn't considered good for humans. We want the better grains. We give the poorer grains, the lesser grains, to the cattle. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof, and thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Every day they were only to eat 20 shekels. And remember, we figured that out. And that was just a very small portion of food. Like, what we've come up with? It's written in my other Bible. About 6 ounces.
I got 10 ounces marked in mine.
Yeah. Six to nine, 10 ounces of food. Consider that. My wife has put us on a diet, and we've got to get back to it now that we got home from the conference. and she measures out my portion for a meal, for one meal. And the meat is 3 or 4 ounces. And then you got either a salad or a vegetable, something like that. You know. But that's only one meal. You see, I eat more than that in a day. How can you live? How could you live on that meager food? All your food total is 10 ounces. For the whole day. Yeah. Thou shalt drink also water by measure. You got to measure out your water. You don't get a full glass of water. The sixth part of an hin, from time to time, shalt thou drink it. Every day, that's all you got. All the water you got. Something less than a full glass. I mean, we have varying sized glasses. We have 8 ounce glasses. We got 10 ounce glasses, 12 ounce glasses, 16 ounce glasses. Then you got a 32 ounce mug. And I walk around the day with that 32 ounce mug after I've drank my 3 cups of coffee.
I got 16 ounces marked
in
my mug.
Yeah.
For the whole day.
Yeah. And they say, what, at least 8 ounce glasses of water a day? That's 64 ounces. 16 ounces of water a day? I hear the doctor saying dehydrated. I hear the doctor saying you're dehydrated.
Yes.
Your organs are beginning to shut down.
They will.
They will. Yes. See the dire strait that they were in? Turn with me to the book of Lamentations. Now, these things in Ezekiel, this is prophecy coming, going to come to pass. But turn with me to Lamentations. You understand that Jeremiah was also prophecy of things coming to pass. And in the book of Jeremiah, he's seen some of the things come to pass. But Lamentations is his lamenting over what has happened, what has come to pass. Look at Lamentations chapter 1, verse 4. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. The land was desolate. The land was in bitterness. That's what Jeremiah saw come to pass. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 5. Lamentations 5. Verse 7. This portion of Lamentations here in the fifth chapter spells out exactly what is being said in Ezekiel, is being told those inhabitants by the river Kibar in the land of Chaldee, in the land of Babylon. In verse 7 it says, our fathers have sinned and are not. We have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. Notice verse 9. We get our bread with the peril of our lives. They got their bread and they ate their bread in the peril of their lives. Because of the sword of the wilderness, our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. That's a picture of skin being baked on the bone and shrinking to the bone. Why? Because they had sinned. Because they had sinned. Is that not what we were told in the book of Ezekiel? Chapter 12. And verse 19. Because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. You see? Because they had sinned. They had rebelled. They were a hard-hearted people. They were a rebellious people. As he says at the start of this chapter, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious people. And he said it again, because thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious people. Look with me to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7. Look what is foretold by the prophet Micah. In chapter 7 and verse 13. He said, notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein for the fruit of their doings. You see, because them that dwelt in the land were wicked and rebellious against God. They were hard-hearted and stiff-necked against God. The land was going to be laid desolate. Now, in our day, the wicked may prosper in the world. The wicked may prosper in the world, and we may have what we would consider by the world standard meager fare. It's just a thought come to my mind. How many of you have ever looked at a prospectus of what you need to have for retirement? Do you have it? What they say you need? Probably not. Well, honey, we're in trouble. If I was dependent on that, we'd be in trouble. But I'm trusting the Lord. Here I am, just a couple months away from 70. And the Lord's taken care of me my whole life. And He'll continue to take care of me. His blessings upon my wife and I are so great. He's so wonderful. And I thank Him every day for His rich blessings on me. But in our day, the wicked may prosper in the world, and they may be increased in riches greatly. When I was a kid growing up, a millionaire was something. And then as I grew, multi-millionaires became something. And then it became billionaires became or something. And now there's multi-billionaires. Well, they may prosper according to the world standards. But in the time of retribution, whenever it comes, sin, their sin and their wickedness will bring poverty. Will bring poverty. And we find probably the greatest book to bring this out is found in the book of Proverbs. We have many scriptures. If you think of it, in that light, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 9 we read, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard?" Do you get it? You might say to the wicked, "How long will you sleep? How long will you be asleep in thinking that all that there is this life? How long will you be asleep to the things of God? How long will you be asleep to the fact that He is the creator and sustainer of life? How long will you be asleep to the fact of eternal life? And dying without eternal life. To spend an eternity in punishment for your wickedness and sin. Oh, by the way, eternity is everlasting. There's no end.
Amen.
And the lake of fire is a literal burning fire and brimstone poured out upon the wicked. He said, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? Lazy? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Won't you awake? Won't you awake out of sleep? Won't you hear the warning? Won't you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ coming to die for sinners? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as out as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You see, your day is coming. As long as you remain asleep, remain a sluggard, your day is coming. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. In verse 15. He said, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Your laziness will cast you in, is cast you into a deep sleep. And your idleness, your soul being idle, you're going to suffer hunger. You're going to suffer for your wickedness, for your sin, for your slothfulness, your laziness to the things of God, not taking them serious, but thinking that those who would dare preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you are nothing but Jesus freaks. Crazy, don't know what they're talking about. You'll find out one day. Your soul shall be destitute thereof. Chapter 23. Chapter 23. And look at verse 21. For the drunkard? yeah. You're drunk with the things of this world. Boy, you're just eating them up like there's no tomorrow. Filling your coffers full. Filling your bellies full. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. That word glutton there is a little bit different than what we normally think of gluttony. This word glutton here is worthless and vile. Self-indulgences. You're glutton in self-indulgences. Like you said, you're just eating up riches and the things that the world has to offer. And all the pornography and the sex and all of that. Just eating it up. Filling up on the desires and passions of the flesh. What a shame. It shall come to poverty.
Amen.
Shall come to poverty. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. That kind of a life is going to clothe you with nothing but rags. Man's righteousnesses, man's good works, so called, are nothing but filthy rags, which are going to burn in the lake of fire for eternity. Chapter 24. Chapter 24 and verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. The wicked are void of understanding. Their field is the field of the slothful. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. and net thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof. What was it that God told Ezekiel back in the second chapter? Though you dwell amongst the thorns, the briars, the nettles, that is, they're clawing at you and piercing at you and saying despicable things to you. Yeah, they're rebellious. They're hard-hearted. They're stiff-necked. They're sluggards. Had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. Have you considered it well? Huh? A little folding of the hands to sleep. Excuse me. Back to verse 32. I looked upon it and received instruction. Oh, sinner friend, you looked upon it tonight? Have you considered? Have you received instruction? You had a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You see, caring not about the things of God and the riches of Christ Jesus in this life will bring you to poverty. Amen. And an eternity spent in the lake of fire. Amen. We stop there tonight. Would to God that those that are lost in their sins and trespasses would consider these words tonight. Next week, Lord willing, we'll go on with the fact that sin deprives of peace. Of peace. Oh, there's no peace for the wicked. No peace.